A terrific idea in theory, perhaps not so much in practice. Google has given up on its Google Health, the online personal health record system it rolled out. Sophisticated in technology, but with the weakness that it may have relied on consumers too much to do the work of data entry. Google Health was designed as a personal health record service, a place where patients could volunteer all of their health records in hopes of centralizing their treatment information. The flaw is that Google, usually pretty savvy when it comes to information technology and users, seems to have missed something pretty key about how consumers relate to their healthcare information. And it's why our next guest, Dr. John Moore, MD, research assistant and PhD candidate at MIT's Media Lab New Media Medicine Group, believes his project, Collaborithm, might succeed where Google has failed. Dr. Moore, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Great, and it's great to talk to you. You know, let's talk a little bit about the difference between Google's approach to data entry and acquiring health records. And we should point out they had a partnership with the Cleveland Clinic, so this wasn't, you know, pie in the sky completely. And the idea of collaborative record keeping, where patients collect data in a slightly different way than just entering it in a computer.
Sure. So, I mean, personal health records have been around for quite a long time. The idea of helping people aggregate information about their health to have it available to them for their uses has really been around for about 20 years. The problem that really exists is that the backbone of our health IT infrastructure doesn't really support easily aggregating that information from other sources. So what they've had to rely on a lot is people to sit down in front of a computer, grab some pieces of paper from their medical records here and there, and enter that information on their own. And as a consequence, people are sitting in front of a computer screen entering information, and then when they're done, they're kind of left in the lurch and don't know what to do with it.
And part of the problem is that people traditionally, and it's one of the issues in healthcare in America, don't have a terribly sophisticated relationship with their healthcare records or their information typically. So you've got a real minority of people who can get their hands on these records. And secondly, the technology has reached the point now where people carrying smartphones, et cetera, might be able to collect data in the way that doctors do. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. Or, I mean, if we think about this differently, if we think about more about the approach of collaborative health records, the idea that certain information should come from medical practitioners and medical institutions, and certain information should come from patients, from individuals, because they have a different set of data to contribute. So, for example, medical problems, procedures, medications, allergies, these are things that really should be kept track of very closely by the medical establishment. But we're missing really important pieces about the personal health of people. And those are their medications, their health-related behaviors like diet and exercise, stress, sleep. These pieces, the healthcare institutions will never be able to capture unless we engage patients actively in this process. So what we need to do is think about having a more of a collaborative health record that lets the right people put the right information into those places so that we can then look at it together as a team.
So is this like a document that's open and doctors would have access to it to download information from their records? Patients would be wired up to devices that actually input things about their behavior, what they ate today, that sort of thing, and that all of this would be collected simultaneously?
Yeah, in the end, we're building this on top of what's called a personally controlled health record background. And a lot of this comes from Children's Hospital here in Boston, a group that works on a project called Indivo that was actually a predecessor of Microsoft Health Vault and Google Health. And they picked this name carefully, calling it a personally controlled health record, because it's not about the person just owning it, it's about them controlling it. And a lot of what goes on behind the scenes is it has aggregators to pull information from the clinical sources. And so, yes, it's this record that sits on a server somewhere, and the patient owns and controls it so they can see who's touched their data, what data's in there, where it goes. But they're not responsible for entering the clinical information. But in our platform, what we build is a whole front end on top of that to make it really friendly and easy for people to use their smartphones, their tablets, their televisions as they experience health to track things that are important to them.
So rather than looking at a spreadsheet. Your software and your front end, as you describe it, is more like looking at, into the face of a trusted friend, a medical practitioner, a doctor, or a nurse, and giving information that way?
Sure. I mean, really the most important thing that we've been missing in health IT is that what people really want when it comes to health is not to stare at a screen. They want a person who cares for them. And so a lot of what we're doing is building on top of this communication tools so that as you enter this information, it flows immediately to people on the other end. They could be clinicians, they could be family members, they could be friends. And they can see this information and push messages back to you, not as separate text messages or email, but on top of really rich experiences that you have on the phone. So to give you an example, we did a study for patients with HIV. And instead of sending them numbers, your CD4 cell count, which is a number of parts of your immune system that gets attacked by HIV, normally the numbers, maybe the patient has a number of 243, and they have a viral load, which is how much virus is in the blood, of 14,833. And what does that mean to us? To the normal individual, it doesn't mean much. So we show them a drop of their blood. A picture, an animated picture, that lets them see, well, how much virus is there? And how many T cells? How protected is my immune system? And we let them, when they get a new lab test, the new numbers flow right into that visualization. They just see the appropriate number. But then even more important, we take actionable information, something they can do about it, whether or not they take their medication. And we project it onto that picture. So if the person takes their medication, it forms a barrier of protection around those T cells, and the virus can attack.
So seeing what can be done as well as how you're doing using visual tools. Dr. John Moore, research assistant and PhD candidate at the MIT Media Lab. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks.
An alternative to Google Health's no longer existing health records collection system. High technology at the MIT Media Lab.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.